Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show, on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
We're continuing to go around the room here. Walker Wildman back from family vacation. Are you refreshed?
I'm refreshed like a new person, and I'm back.
Refreshed like a new person, and I'm back. That sounds sort of Clint Eastwoodish.
Yeah.
Right there. I'm
or
back.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, or Schwarzenegger.
I'm my own man. I'm my own man.
Where did you...
This is all kinds of macho stuff coming.
Yeah, don't get carried away with this thing here.
Well, y'all started comparing me to movie stars.
Yeah, movie star. So. That's true.
Where'd you go?
I went to Orange Beach, Alabama.
Orange Beach, Alabama.
Yeah, Orange Beach, Alabama. We had a good time. The ocean had a lot of that seaweed in it.
Yeah.
So there wasn't much playing in the water. It was green and nasty.
Right. But,
we still had a good time.
From a storm or something? Sometimes that stuff washes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may have been from that tropical storm about 2 or 3 weeks back.
And what's up with jellyfish down here?
I'll tell you what's up with jellyfish, my friend.
You don't want to
interact with jellyfish.
You don't want to tangle with them.
Huh?
But aren't they like sometimes they'll just come on beaches and you can't even walk on the beach because of these things that apparently is horrendous pain when they sting you.
Well, in all fairness to Orange Beach, Alabama tourism, this is not how it is all the time.
In terms of seaweed?
It's beautiful down in along the whole Gulf Coast, seaweed I'm talking about. Now, the creatures you're talking about right there, the jellyfish, they can appear anywhere.
Yeah.
But they don't care what beach they show up on.
The highlight of my trip was my son, who's going to turn 1 year old next week. First trip to the beach, first time touching sand.
Yeah.
And he loved it.
He did. He loved it.
He ate so much sand.
He's a little 1-year-old beach bum.
He is.
Okay. He ate.
he would, you know, he didn't mean to eat the sand, but he gets it all over his hands and his pacifier, and he just doesn't care.
I know.
You know, it doesn't take much for a new dad to find a way to get his son into the conversation.
Yeah. Oh, it's easy.
Is he swimming yet?
No.
Okay.
No, he likes the water, though.
He likes the water. All right. Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Yes. Just back from a resort myself.
But what'd you do?
Fort Leonard Wood.
Oh, that's right. Went to Missouri.
Went to Missouri.
That's not exactly a resort.
No,
but,
Fort Lost in the Woods, as it's affectionally known.
Fort Lost in the Woods. Wow.
That is a Army base in the middle of Missouri. I always tell, if not for Fort Leonard Wood, I wouldn't be here today.
That's right.
I was born... My dad was stationed there for 2 years, from 62 to 64, I think, and I was born in 63, near there.
Yep.
But you had to go there to visit family?
Yeah, well, my son-in-law was graduating from a course. He's in the Army.
Right.
And engineering course there, so we went up for the big graduation ceremony. We had a lot of fun.
Good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And Missouri is absolutely beautiful. The drive back through the Ozarks, gorgeous farming country. It is absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. All right, Walker, what are we doing on the internet before we get into the news of the day?
Yeah, we're live streaming on Facebook as we speak. We're also live streaming on YouTube, so both places you can watch the show. You pick. Also on Facebook, I post the news stories, many of the news stories from onenewsnow.com, a lot of the top headlines for the day. Lastly, you can always find us on the internet at AFR.net is our website, AFR.net. You can listen to the show 24/7 as long as you have an internet connection, AFR.net.
So watch the show right now live on Facebook.
Yes, sir, and YouTube.
And YouTube, just type in Today's Issues.
That's right.
On AFR. Fred, big deal going on tomorrow in Singapore?
Yeah, well, President Donald Trump is in Singapore right now at that resort where there'll be a summit. Now, it's 12 hours difference. So
is that his resort?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No. He owns a lot of resorts, but I don't think he owns that one.
Okay.
But we're about 10 after 10 Central Time here. They're 12 hours ahead of us, so it's about just after 10 at night there. So sometime... late this evening, the summit will begin over there between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. And we understand from reports this morning, those two men will meet together alone. They'll have translators, but nobody else at the table, no Secretary of State Mike Pompeo or anybody else. It's just those two one-on-one. The president turns, 71 or 72, I think. Is it today?
I think it's 72.
72 tomorrow. Kim Jong-un is still in his 30s, as far as I know. So a vast difference in age and experience and all of that sort of thing. But I guess both of them wanted to do that just to feel each other out and make their point one-on-one, mano-to-man. And then there'll be some...
Are they going to play basketball?
I don't imagine. I don't.
Well, there was some talk about Dennis Rodman going.
Yes. Right, you know, right. But yeah. I mean,
then there was some McDonald's NBA. Talk, wasn't there?
Yeah, Big Mac.
Big Mac.
I was wondering about the basketball because I think I don't think that Kim Jong-un, President Trump's 6'3".
Yes.
And Kim Jong-un's 5'3".
Yeah.
So, I mean, he may be able to dribble around him, but I just don't think it's going to be a very fair matchup there. Although, it's the young man versus the old guy, so
right.
I don't know.
Well, not to be unkind, but the young man hasn't done much running in his life.
Yeah.
I don't
think... He likes to eat without exercise.
Yeah, I think he'd make it down the court once, and that would be it. I think that's going to be about it today.
For all our listeners, this is all tongue-in-cheek. Just to want to make sure that everyone knows.
Hey, by the way, this is a very, in all seriousness, this is a big moment. Because if President Trump is able to secure from the leader slash dictator of North Korea... Mm-hmm. A guarantee that he will give up his nuclear weapons program and therefore bring some peace and security to the Korean Peninsula and the Pacific Rim, if you will. Mm-hmm. This would be the greatest national security move and world move for world peace. In the 21st century.
That's correct.
And, I mean, am I right about that?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big deal.
This would be huge, depending on what kind of deals they enter into. Now, there's all kinds of discussions. I think that Kim Jong-un, like his father and grandfather, have always been very nervous since they're dictators, and most dictators are nervous and even paranoid about these kinds of things, about coups and attempted, efforts to get them out of power and or military invasion. So there's some discussion about President Trump easing Kim Jong-un's mind about whether or not the U.S. intends to overthrow him militarily. Mm-hmm. There's questions about U.S. troops in South Korea that have been maintained at the 38th parallel and then elsewhere around the South Pacific. The troops in South Korea are considered what's called a tripwire, that if North Korea ever invaded, you kill U.S. troops, therefore we are now in the war that you started. So it's questions about the U.S. Having extended its nuclear umbrella of protection over South Korea, that if North Korea invaded and was going to overthrow South Korea, would we go nuclear, use nuclear weapons? So all those kinds of things have been kind of sticking points on the Korean Peninsula.
President Trump has been downplaying expectations as to what's going to come out of this first meeting. And he's described, this is just a first meeting, a get-to-know type thing, face-to-face. You got thing.
Okay.
And so he says this is going to, they're talking about this is going to take a long time. This is going to be a thing that will develop maybe over 2-3 years. But this is just the first sit down. We'd like to see denuclearization of North Korea. And in return, I mean, they've talked about opening up trade and all of those kinds of things. So, but President Trump has been very cautious. America, don't expect a big announcement tomorrow when the summit wraps up. Yeah. In fact, the president is leaving earlier than expected. This time tomorrow, he'll be on Air Force One headed home. Mm-hmm. He's not staying until Wednesday. So we'll know a little bit more, and we'll have the results, at least statements coming out of their meetings by the time we get to work tomorrow morning.
What's going on here, Walker?
Well, someone or something pressured Kim Jong-un to come to the bargaining table. Mm-hmm. I don't think he did it on his own. I think China probably played a role in that. Maybe China forced his hand. Or maybe Kim Jong-un saw how serious President Trump was about stopping his nuclear capabilities, because after all, President Trump wanted military options on the table months ago.
Which, by the way, he was criticized by the left and the liberal media for.
His tough talk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His tough talk was provocative in their mind. You should not.
My button's bigger than yours.
Well, yeah.
Now, Rocket Man.
Yeah.
Now, Rocket Man was funny.
I don't care who you are.
I give him that. Rocket Man was funny. My button's bigger than yours.
Yeah.
It's not.
Right.
We're talking about nuclear war, okay? This is not something you joke around about, in my opinion. However, I will say this. I guess I'd ask you a question, now I'm answering it, right?
That's right.
I will say this. I think that President Trump's, quote, tough talk, could be credited with bringing us to this moment, because this guy Kim Jong-un, he had never been threatened by an American president before that I can remember. I'm talking about usually American presidents had chosen to ignore him, and I'm not saying that was a bad thing either. Sometimes you just need to ignore these kind of children pitching temper tantrums, which was about what North Korea was doing. But President Trump basically said, you know what? No, you keep doing this, I'm gonna take you out. Mm-hmm. And I think this guy thought Trump might just try to take me out.
Right. Well, he moved three carrier groups into that part of the Pacific. While all this was going on, launching to do these missile tests.
Yeah.
And so you put that kind of firepower off the coast of North Korea.
Right.
And you've got the unpredictability of President Trump.
Right.
Where you're sitting there going, I don't know, this guy, everything else he said he was going to do, he's done.
Right.
Right.
And now he's saying, listen, you want to play tough?
Look what he did in Syria.
Trump this over here, no pun intended. You got something that can match the firepower of these these carrier groups, and you keep playing around, and we
sucked them dry financially with all these sanctions, the toughest sanctions in history. So you add all that together, and it makes an environment where Kim Jong-un goes, well, maybe I do need to sit down with the U.S. and calm down things.
But Kim Jong-un is younger enough to be President Trump's son. I mean, this is the age disparity here. Disparity. One other thing about this, we'll move on to the next story, and that is, the liberal news media in this country and the Democrats, this is killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely killing them, because how are they going to escape giving President Trump credit for denuclearizing a world hotspot? They have got to have Kim Jong-un back out of this deal so that the liberals can say, see there, President Trump can't get it done. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because otherwise, I don't know how you're not going to be able to escape or deny that President Trump, whatever you think of him, was able to bring this madman dictator to his knees and get him to capitulate and give in and get rid of the nuclear program. So, am I being too cynical there, Ed? You think?
Maybe there's a little bit of cynicism there, but far be it from us to be cynical about politics. Because let's face it, you know, the basic way that Washington D.C. has operated is, in fact, I heard a comedian say this. He said, "You got one side who says everything good that's ever happened up there is because of us. Everything bad that's ever happened is because of the other guys." Okay, so there's not really been any, any call for sides to say, no, you know, what they did was good. You gotta hand it to them, applaud them. There's none of that that goes on in Washington, D.C. So, to your point, it would put the Democrats in a very serious position, because in order to placate their base, they have to constantly criticize everything Trump does, what he eats for breakfast. Good grief. So if he pulls off, I mean, if there's some sort of...
What's Robert De Niro going to do?
That's right. That's right. What are you going to say if Trump pulls off some sort of amazing foreign policy op here in meeting with Kim Jong-un? What are you going to say? Right. If you criticize something that's clearly a foreign policy success, you look like idiots.
Yeah.
Speaking of Robert De Niro, he's letting the obscenities fly again against President Trump, this time at the
Tony Awards.
Tony Awards, which six people watched. I saw that.
across and you America. Aren't one of them, huh?
The Nielsen ratings are in. Mm-hmm. There was 6.7 people watched the Tony Awards. The Tony Awards is the Broadway play awards, right?
Correct.
So Robert De Niro, the actor, gets up says an obscenity about Trump, about
a
President
couple of
Trump.
Times.
Yeah, I was shocked that he was cheered by the New York audience there.
See, you're not cynical.
No. These people, can they just do their show, Fred? Just do your show and clout for the most LGBT friendly play for the year, and go home.
Yeah.
Why do they feel the need to say these things about President Trump and then cheer each other for saying them?
Because it's in vogue to hate Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. They wanted Hillary to win. She didn't.
Okay.
Can
we not give that one up?
Can you imagine if a conservative
wanted Hillary to win?
If a conservative movie star said expletives towards Obama.
Yeah.
Oh. As much as they do President Trump.
They'd be out of a job.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to blow up the White House.
The IRS would be raiding their offices too, just like
and,
they did with
the And let me just say, obviously there's a racial component when President Obama was in office. But if it had been, I'm just saying, if it had been a white president, a white male, so we don't even get to the woman part with Hillary, a white male Democrat in the White House, you remove the gender and the racial components, you're all still correct.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who, those kinds of expletives, they'd be maybe met with outrage, threats to blow up the White House, same thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Such is the hatred against Donald Trump.
All right. So anyway, Robert De Niro, he's getting on up there.
He is.
What is he, 70-something maybe?
And, you know, I always have been a fan of De Niro's acting ability. I still am. But these people are going so far that it really is starting to detract from my ability to watch them.
Right.
You know, I used to be able to say, okay, well, he's liberal, that's fine.
Right.
Charlton Heston was conservative, that's fine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I want to watch the performance.
Right.
But they are making it more and more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
To watch them and escape the terrible things that they've said.
I'm like, okay, Robert De Niro, we get it, man.
Yeah.
We get it. Yeah. You hate President Trump. You said it 1,000 times. Okay, just introduce Bruce Springsteen or whoever you're doing here at this show. You don't have to.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Why do you feel the need and the urge? You can't compel. You're compelled to say these things.
Well, here's the reason why I think now the left is getting so radicalized that if you have an opportunity in front, even if it's in front of six people watching, if you're on television, if you're in front and you don't
miss your opportunity,
then you're criticized because you had an opportunity to curse President Trump and you didn't take it. You must be going soft. I think they're so radical. That you have to now.
Also, as you say, oftentimes these are God haters.
Yeah.
So if you don't believe in God, and everything you believe in is here in this world, and they want this globalist society, one world, no nations, no borders, everybody's happy, government pays for everything. That's their end game.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats and Hollywood elites. President Trump just messed up their whole party.
Yeah,
that's true.
In Obama.
Well, President Trump stands up pro-life stand.
Right.
He is a capitalist. And even though they enjoy capitalist, the financial benefits of capitalism, they like to talk in a socialist vein. You're right. Mm-hmm. You know, they're globalist in their points of view. So you do the check marks. That's three that Donald Trump is that Barack Obama was not.
Right. And they're still Hillary upset Clinton about was it. Not.
And yeah. they're still upset about it.
Right. Yeah. These many of these people, they are God haters. Mm-hmm. They just... And you know, I'm often amazed by people who amazed. Maybe that's the wrong word. These people who are God haters, they don't believe in anything. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And yet they act like, but yet they want to stand against things with passion. Even though there's really no worldview, consistent worldview that they're operating under. I don't know if that makes any sense. You see what I'm saying there? They want, like Robert De Niro, I don't know what his religion is. I'm guessing he's an atheist or an agnostic. And I'm just saying, why the passion about things like President Trump when you're just worm food?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
So even when they do have beliefs, like Walker saying it's globalist and all those sorts of things. They do have beliefs, but in the grand scheme of things, even your beliefs, if you're an atheist, even your beliefs don't amount to anything.
Yes.
Because there's no purpose in nature. There's no purpose. And so you're spending all this time with all this passion talking about things that basically don't really mean anything because there's no overarching purpose for the human race.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't understand their zealousness against President Trump or other things, except that not that President Trump is a great representative of Christianity,
right?
In some respects, although he is in others. I think these people are expressing Robert De Niro, for example, they hate God. Now they're not gonna go before a camera and go, you know, I hate God. Sign me up,
right,
for being a God hater. But their actions and their words. And the way they spew their venom mm-hmm. shows that they hate God. They hate the things of God, the you know, that described in the Bible as right and wrong. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So anyway, Robert De Niro, by the way, I looked it up. He was, according to Wikipedia, which you can count on that, right? He was raised an atheist by an atheist mother and a lapsed Catholic father. I would say that's not a good combo to be raised in. His grandparents had secretly baptized him Catholic, and his grandmother was the main advocate of Catholicism in the family. How do you his grandparents had secretly baptized him Catholic?
Well, we're going to take Robert for ice cream. And
he went down to the church. The priest
you go by the church and have the priest baptize you on the way to the, on the way to get the ice cream and then bring him home?
That's how you secretly do it.
Because they would see that as him being baptized into the Catholic Church.
Into the church.
Yeah.
Well, he evidently not a practicing Catholic now if he ever was. All right. Half the world's problem solved right there.
Yeah.
In 25 That's minutes, right. people.
And we still got an hour on this show.
Yeah, don't tell me. I think we're going to knock out 90%. I think we're going to knock out 90% of the world's problems.
By 11 right o'clock.
On a Monday. I don't know what we're going to do with the rest of the weekend. I don't know what
more
we're going to do.
More problems will show their... Show
oh,
their,
you think so?
Yeah. But we'll just... Hey, we'll solve those.
Gilda Radner.
We're not afraid.
Gilda Radner, the former Saturday Night Live actress, had a great title for a book. It was called It's Always Something. we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
One of my favorite things to do in Israel is take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello everyone, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be taking our annual tour of Israel in March of 2019, but it's time to sign up. We have a lot of folks sign up early, and last year, in fact, we filled up several months in advance. So for all the information on this trip to Israel, a bucket list trip for most people, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure, call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your phone number. We'll be flying direct from the States to Tel Aviv and then begin our tour in Jerusalem of Israel. We hope you can join us in 2019.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. A school district near Erie, Pennsylvania has decided to arm school teachers, not with guns, but with baseball bats. And I'm not talking about a Louisville Slugger. No, no, the baseball bats given to teachers in the Mill Creek School District are 16 inches long. William Hall is the superintendent of Mill Creek Schools. He says every classroom will have a mini bat locked away for safekeeping, only to be used if a teacher or child's life is in imminent danger. A district survey found about 70% of citizens support arming teachers with guns, but the superintendent says that's probably not going to happen, well, seeing how they have 16-inch baseball bats. Another Pennsylvania school district in Schuylkill County made national headlines when they put buckets of rocks in classrooms. The school district suggested hurling the stones at attackers in the event of a school shooting. Sticks and stones, America. Sticks and stones. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show. Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. We've had this show for 20 plus years, something like that. I think we started in 2001. Yeah, 25 years probably. And we've been here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. We thank you for listening to AFR. So you got an announcement about the IHOP?
Yes, International House of Pancakes is no longer International House of Pancakes. It is International House of Burgers. The company announced, I think last week, that it was changing from IHOP to IHOB, and they keeping it secret what the B was going to stand for, and they have now revealed that it will stand for burgers, because that's what we needed, was another burger place. Now, my wife likes IHOP because of the pancakes, but man, Twitter is blowing up. People are saying your marketing team needs to be fired ASAP, literally fire everyone. International House of Bad Ideas. That was pretty clever. I don't even live in a country with IHOP, and I'm angry.
What's going on? What did they do? What's going on here? Are they changing from a breakfast place to a burger place?
I have no idea. To me, I said this morning in one of our meetings, this is a new Coke. Remember the new Coke?
Yes. Yeah.
Remember that kind of that disaster of a decision they made? Mm-hmm. This, I think, is up there with that. This company, another tweet, this company is about to go be broke. So, I didn't particularly like IHOP. My wife liked it because I'm just not a big pancake, you know. Right. But my wife liked it, so sometimes we would go because my wife wanted pancakes. She wanted blueberry pancakes.
Right.
And now you think we're going to go there for burgers? If I want a burger, I'm going to Five Guys.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm not going to IHOB.
IHOB?
This is...
Maybe their mascot could be a hobbit. IHOP it. You know, get it.
So
I got it. Are the
pancakes not doing it for them?
I don't know. I don't know what brought this on.
This is almost one of those decisions where you just need to rebrand the whole restaurant.
Yeah.
Repaint the building, change out the sign.
Maybe they're going to do that. That's radical right there because, I mean, that's not a – you're changing that. That's not a slight change of the menu. That's,
right.
We're changing from – it would almost be like Pizza Hut, you know, saying
we're doing sushi.
We're going to be a donut place
now.
We're
going to be Sushi Hut.
Or Sushi Hut.
Yeah.
I don't know how this coincides with the meeting that President Trump's having in Singapore with Kim Jong-un, but I think
we can rebrand today's issues.
Okay. Where are we going with this one, Fred?
Hop around.
Yesterday's issues.
Hop around.
Yesterday's issues. Let's do that.
Yesterday's issues.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yesterday's issues today.
Sounds like a song, a sad song. Yesterday's issues. We need to put some words with it, some music with that.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Since we'll have time, since we've solved most of the world.
So IHOP, we'll hire the marketing firm that told IHOP to
change. This would be a good idea.
To be IHOP, International House of Burgers.
Okay. It's wrong.
It's wrong. Now, also, one other restaurant-related deal here. Hold on, Fred.
Oh, yeah.
We got some CEO of Twitter is apologizing for eating where?
Yeah, this is Jack Dorsey, who's CEO of Twitter, ate at Chick-fil-A and then showed something, you know, hey, I'm eating at Chick-fil-A.
It was a Chick-fil-A cup.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A cup. And he got blasted by the homosexual community and liberals, I think Soledad O'Brien and others. And so he was forced to tweet, "You're right, completely forgot about their background." Now, what is he talking about background? Well, in 2012... Dan Cathy, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, mentioned that he was in favor of traditional marriage, believed in marriage between a man and a woman.
Like President Obama did.
Yeah, and there was a boycott against Chick-fil-A because of that.
So we had Chick-fil-A Day, too. Christians had a boycott, right?
And Chick-fil-A had the best day ever, literally, in terms of sales.
Yeah.
And you remember in the 2012 election.
So the LGBT crowd, they're still carrying this on?
Yeah.
So that one comment.
Right.
By one of the Cathy members' families about being in favor of traditional marriage, that one comment, and these people can't get, they can't, and so the CEO of Twitter.
Right.
Eats at Chick-fil-A, announces it on Twitter, and the whole, the left-wing world comes down on his head. To the point he had to apologize. Did he apologize?
Yes. He said, "You're right, completely forgot about their background." You know, Chick-fil-A really is kind of one of those cultural dividing lines. Remember, Mitt Romney in the 2012 election would not go to Chick-fil-A to eat a chicken sandwich.
Yeah,
he was criticized. The guy can't even stand for a chicken sandwich. The mayor of Boston, Tom Menino, said, We are not going to bring Chick-fil-A. I think Chick-fil-A had a threat to sue because Boston said, "We're not giving you a license." And
because of that one comment?
Because of that one comment. New York City tried to keep them from coming in.
Chicago, Rahm Emanuel. Mm-hmm.
Chicago did the same thing. And then they finally got their restaurants in New York City, Chicago, and Boston. And they say there's still lines around the corner to get in there and get one of their chicken sandwiches.
But he didn't say anything. I don't need the CEO of was it Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A. He didn't say anything hateful,
no,
or bigoted against homosexuals. He just said he's in favor of traditional marriage.
And Chick-fil-A didn't even do anything.
It wasn't Chick-fil-A. It was him.
He personally.
But now, so the CEO of Twitter. You know what I would say to the CEO of Twitter? What's his name? Jack Dorsey. I would say, you know what, if you don't know any more about this situation than you do, don't say anything because you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
That's what I would say.
Now, but this goes back to the De Niro thing.
Yeah.
The question you asked, why do they feel? Because the minute you don't do what you're supposed to or you do what you're not supposed to, the left is going to pound you. Mm-hmm. So if you're Robert De Niro and you're talking and you're addressing and you have the opportunity and you don't curse Trump, they're going to come after you. If you're Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, and you eat a chicken sandwich and have a drink at Chick-fil-A, we're going to pound you.
Right.
I'd hate to be a leftist.
I would say to him, Mr. What's his name?
Jack Dorsey.
I would say to him, you know, you need to do, if you're going to agree with this, with the people who are going after you, you need to be able to articulate
right
why you agree with them, because all you've said here is, you're right, I forgot about their, what, background?
Yeah, their background. Who's they?
Who's they?
The whole restaurant chain?
Right. And what background are you talking about? The reason I say that, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. Jack Dorsey doesn't have a clue on why he's having to capitulate.
Well, he didn't before he posted it. Now he knows.
No, that's what I'm saying. If he knew, then he would have known not to do that in the first place. You see my point?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But he's innocently posting a picture of himself eating a Chick-fil-A. He gets pounded by the left, and he starts saying, I'm sorry, please.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm saying if you're going to do that, you're going to plead, I'm sorry. Tell me what you're sorry
right.
for doing. That's what I would appreciate. Not just, oh, yeah, my bad. I forgot about their background. What background?
Right.
Who? What? What are you talking about? Articulate that. Anyway, CEO there of Twitter. But you're right, Ed the Walker. These leftists, and you can't get out of line.
No.
You can't get out of line. You got to march lockstep with these secular left God haters. And if you get out of line, that's why you
got the price.
You pay the price. You will get pounded. That's why they hated President Trump, is because he would not. He was the opposite of political correctness.
Right.
And that's why they hate him probably worse than they do anybody else, because he doesn't just take it. Remember President George W. Bush?
Mm-hmm.
He just took it.
Right.
Now, you could argue both ways. Sometimes you do need to ignore criticism. I would
right.
agree. But President Bush would not fight back, ever.
Even when he's innocent.
Yeah.
Even when he's doing the right thing.
Yeah,
On the other hand, President Trump will fight with everybody.
Yeah.
Anyone.
That's right. That's right. And well, you called him a New York City...
Leaders of the G7?
Right.
I don't care.
Well,
you're a bunch of idiots.
The American people love it because we're tired of our values
right.
being disrespected,
right.
and then nobody's there to defend them.
Mm-hmm.
So President George Bush acts like he was a Republican, you know, somewhat conservative, you know, believes in a lot of things that us evangelicals do. But when everybody bashes him, he just takes it.
Yeah.
Well, President Trump says, no, I believe what I believe in.
Right.
Here's why I believe it.
Right. And I'm going to fight back.
Yeah.
And you hit me, I hit you.
Yeah.
What did you say about, you called him a New York City street brawler?
Oh, just yeah, street something? Fighter.
Street fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have heard of Jordan Peterson. I know this is going a little bit off the reservation here. Jordan Peterson, University of Toronto, anyway, professor. He's not a Christian, but he's a conservative, libertarian, slash whatever. He says, you know, when guys get together and talk and argue, there's always a subtext. You know, when I was in high school, things get heated. You know that at some point this thing can turn physical, okay? So everyone kind of mediates their conversations and they, okay, everybody, let's calm down. Your buddies start to say, let's break this up. Because you know that you're talking to this guy across the table in the cafeteria, high school cafeteria, you say one thing too far, he's going to reach over and slug you, okay? That's what Trump does. Trump gets into an argument. You have to understand that at some point he's going to reach across the cafeteria table and hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody seems to understand that about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think he's right. going to play by all these old diplomatic political rules,
right.
and Trump goes, uh-uh.
No.
In New York City, you know, the union's going to do this, then I'm hitting back.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
and people, you know, 2 years after he was elected, people just seem to, or close to 2 years, seem to not know that, or they don't believe it. Trump goes,
yeah.
I'm going to hit you.
And
if you keep saying that, I'm going to punch you right in the nose. And someone says it, you go, pow. And they go, wow, where'd that come from?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons that it seems like more people come in the White House and then leave the White House within a matter of months. That's because I think people go in there thinking, I'm going to get this guy under control. You know, we're gonna play by the rules. I'm going to control his press statements. I'm going to take away his Twitter. You know,
left-wing
blah, blah, blah.
Media is going to like me.
Yeah, yeah, and but they get in there and they get frustrated because Trump does his own thing.
Yeah.
And I was reading a story, I think it was like Washington Post or something. Anyways, it was a very lengthy article about how there's so much turnover with these lower staffers in the White House because they get frustrated because they do all this traditional prep work, you know, to make the press statements look all pretty and, you know, make everything look good. And President Trump just throws it all in the trash and just does whatever he wants to do. Mm-hmm. But they can't handle that because they're so used to manipulating the messaging.
Mm. Anyway, but the good thing is that he and Gary Trudeau,
Justin.
He and Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, they're pals now, right?
Well, they were up until this weekend, but now Justin Trudeau is off of President Trump's Christmas list.
Right. What happened here?
Well, they are all in Canada. I think it was Quebec somewhere, some resort, for the G7 meeting. And basically, European Union leaders, Canada, the United States.
They voted President Trump off the island, though.
Well, yeah.
All the G7 leaders, they voted him off the island. You knew that, didn't you?
Yeah, and he really cares.
Yeah.
Anyway, President Trump gets on the plane up there in Canada to head to the summit in Singapore. And as soon as he leaves town, President Trump, Justin Trudeau gets out there because he was all nice and friendly during the summit. And the summit was really about tariffs, you know, because President Trump wants to change the game plan when it comes to all the trade deals that we have with countries around the world. And so it was all nice, and they sign on to this statement because everybody was so nice. But then Justin Trudeau, as soon as President Trump left town, Justin Trudeau holds a news conference. He says U.S. tariffs were kind of insulting, and he says Canada will not be pushed around. Well, you know what? That did not sit right with President Trump at all. And so he tweets out from Air Force One, very dishonest and weak. Our tariffs are in response to his 270% on dairy. Now, what President Trump is talking about there, dairy products that the United States sells to Canada face a 270% tariff before they can go into that country. Canada has what they call marketing boards. They control how much chicken is produced, chicken nuggets, how many eggs are produced, how much pork is sold, how much dairy products are sold. And so to protect, quotation marks, Canadian farmers, etc., they put these tariffs on. President Trump is saying enough is enough. I want a level playing field here. In fact, President Trump at one point over the last several days said, let's remove all tariffs. We're tired. We're being basically robbed by all of these other countries. I've had enough. And so now he's really upset with Justin Trudeau for pulling this nonsense off after the President Trump had left the meeting.
And that's the thing that really is infuriating about the G7 and all these other free trade people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is when the president says, well, let's just get rid of all tariffs. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's have completely free trade.
Yep.
All right. That's when the truth comes out that these countries have tariffs on us.
That's right.
And what Trump wants to do is put tariffs on their stuff because he's tired of the United States being the piggy bank.
That's right.
For everybody.
Which is the term he used.
Right.
Piggy bank for everybody else.
Did he really use that term?
Oh, yeah, he did. That was his term. So we're not sure where the whole tariff argument is going to go right now. But, you know, we've just been talking about the character of President Trump. He is a hardball dealer.
Right.
The art of the deal. And he is not your typical president of the United States. He is out. He's not there for the money. He never took the job for the money.
Right.
He gives it all away anyway to charity. His salary, his $400,000 a year salary. He doesn't need this. He believes in America, but he believes in making America great again, making America strong. And he said all the way along, he said during the election campaign 2016, this country has fallen victim to rotten deals that previous presidents have made.
That's what I'm talking about. He said that during the entire campaign.
Yes.
And then when he gets in office and he does it, everyone goes, well, I just didn't see that coming.
This is terrible.
So you have a G7, and you talk about tariffs, and you think a different Donald Trump is going to show up?
No. Not going to happen.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the program. If you'd like to send us an email, just send it to comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. You can listen to this, listen and or watch the show live here today by going to our Today's Issues Facebook page or our YouTube page for Today's Issues. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker and Fred. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio on this Monday. What's the next story, Fred?
Well, we've done a lot of stories over the last year or so about leakers. Who's leaking stuff to the media? Well, we now know one of them is a guy by the name of James A. Wolfe. Up until recently, he was the director of security for the Senate Intelligence Committee. All right? James A. Wolfe. He was leaking stuff to the New York Times. Not just anybody there, but reporter Ali Watkins. And we now know they had more just than a leaking relationship. They were in a romantic relationship. He leaked tens of thousands of things during his time of director of security there for the Senate Intelligence Committee. And now, of course, he's been charged with lying repeatedly to investigators about his contacts with these, well, it's three reporters all total, but this one at the New York Times, Ali Watkins. So this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg now. We're finding out who is doing the leaking. And coming up later this week, on Thursday, I think it is, the Inspector General's report is coming out, Michael Horowitz. And I think we're going to find out a whole lot more about who was not only leaking information to the media during the whole Hillary Clinton investigation email scandal, but also what's gone on with the so-called Russia investigation.
What's this fellow's name?
His name is James A. Wolfe.
And what's his title?
He was the
Retired now, but he was.
Yes, he was director of security for the Senate Intelligence Committee.
And what did he do wrong?
He was he was leaking all kinds of information.
Well, now my understanding is he has not been arrested for leaking. He's been arrested for lying to the FBI.
Correct.
When they asked him about his contact with certain reporters.
That's right.
One of which is this woman.
Ali Watkins.
So it doesn't look good for this guy.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, he could spend a long time in prison.
He's, 58. He retired retired in May. So he just retired, and now he's looking at going to prison.
Let's just assume that he's guilty. What is he doing this for? What is he leaking information? Why would you leak information when you got such a high security, our national securities in play here?
Because you're not liking things that your information that you've been exposed to, in this case in the Senate Intelligence Committee, and you kind of want to undermine the people that you've been working for as director of security, and you keep telling reporters, leaking it to reporters.
Well, if that's true, this guy ought to go to prison for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. He should.
That's awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
Is he a liberal who's trying to undercut Trump? Or
I don't know what his motives were, and some of that may come out as, the legal proceedings.
Well, he chose to leak to the New York Times.
Yes.
Which is the most left-wing newspaper in the country.
Also, why doesn't the media talk about a 63-year-old man sleeping with a now 22-year-old female reporter?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they talking about that? Because apparently they've had a relationship for over 3 years, which would put her at 19 years old.
She's that young?
She's 22 years old, and she works for the New York Times. Why in the media talking about that age gap there?
That's the first time in history that an older man's been seduced by a younger woman.
Yeah, 45-year-old.
But
age
gap.
Are you talking about like the hashtag Me Too kind of thing?
Yeah, and like the Roy Moore.
That's a good.
They put Roy Moore out of business over here in Alabama.
Yep.
For dating people who are 18 and 19.
Well, because he's one of them. Therefore, we don't talk
about.
But this is
appearing to be political leak. I mean, there's no other way to explain it. This is from CBS News. The Department of Justice alleges Wolf lied to FBI agents in December 2017. About his repeated contacts with three reporters using encrypted messaging applications. The DOJ also accuses Wolf of making false statements to the FBI And also, he was in regular contact with multiple journalists, including meeting them at restaurants, in bars, and in the Senate office building.
He, James A. Wolfe, who we're talking about, he's the Senate Intelligence Committee's Director of Security for nearly 30 years. We talk about the deep state, folks, and the bureaucratic career politicians that run Washington, D.C., oftentimes that are unelected and out of sight, unseen. This is the kind of person we're talking about.
Right. Who had heard of this guy before this?
Nobody. Right. He's not elected, but 30 years he was the Director of Security for the Senate Intelligence Committee. That's a big deal.
And a trusted position, a trusted person.
Yes.
And all of a sudden he's been found.
Well, and the FBI, what happened here is the FBI, under the direction of Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, and the whoever the FBI director is, I guess, now. What's his name?
Christopher Wray,
one of Walker's favorites. they busted him. Mm-hmm. Now, whether he'll be, you know, plead the fifth or plead not guilty or plead guilty, we'll see. But evidently, they think they've got him for relaying secrets of our government to reporters.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this New York Times reporter, feds have
the teenager.
Yeah, the teenager. They've seized her records.
And this is how the left wing is reacting to that.
Yep.
How dare the government seize the records of a reporter?
Tough life.
Well, what did the Obama administration went after AP reporters?
Right.
Their computer
and a Fox
records.
News, remember the Fox News report?
And I didn't hear a bunch of outrage from the left.
No.
No, if you're a journalist and you're getting access to top secret classified information that you're not even supposed to have, then too bad if they seize your records. Too bad.
That's dangerous. If that guy did that, that's you're my. If this guy did this, you're rising to the level of, well, maybe treason's too strong a word, but it's right underneath there, because you're subverting your own government, for political purposes or for whatever favors you're getting from these young girls.
I don't know if he had relationships with
I don't either. I shouldn't have said that. What I mean is by these young ladies, I should have said, that are this, particularly this one New York Times.
One was a BuzzFeed reporter, and I'm not sure what the other outlet was.
Why is this 55-year-old man,
60-something,
having such a cozy relationship with a New York Times reporter who's 20 years old or whatever like that? So that is open to question, speculation,
right?
And the FBI thought it was serious enough to bust him, right?
They've indicted him. Yes,
they've indicted him.
Yeah.
Okay. What's his name again?
James A. Wolfe.
Not a good day for Mr. Wolf.
Hey, and he was, and I said, he retired in May. He should have been. If he kept his nose clean, he'd have a good pension.
Right.
He'd have a lot of time left, I guess, you know, in terms of insurance actuarial tables to be retired. Yeah. And now he might be in prison.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he'll get a lawyer and
spend his money defending himself.
It doesn't look good for him.
No.
From these news stories that are out there. Fred, thanks so much.
Good to be here with you.
Fred, Tim, Ed, and Walker, and Chris Woodward will come in and tag team with Fred and bring us the latest news after our AFR news spread ahead.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.